Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It is Monday. It's not Victory Monday, but it is a playoff Monday. And the 49ers playoff stage is set. You got the Eagles on the horizon this Sunday. Nobody wants to go to the East Coast. It's not fun over there. They're not nice over there. The weather's not nice over there. But if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Now, I do not think the Eagles are even close to the best this year, but they are the defending Super Bowl champions, and they are on the horizon. There's a lot of bad blood between these two fan bases, players, whatever else. It's been rough lately, and the Eagles have kind of found themselves rising up the 49ers faithful hate rankings. For me, not too much. I think their coach is a certified D-bag that nobody really likes, and it's not really too great of a head coach, but has surrounded himself with some really quality coordinators. At least right now, they have one great coordinator in Vic Fangio. You know, faithful know a lot about him. But I want to talk about 49ers injuries. I want to go through, you know, off-season stuff starts now with six head coaching vacancies. You know, the one that affects the 49ers the most, the Cardinals are back in reset mode. They fired Jonathan Gannon, 3 years, one of the worst head coaching jobs in the final 3 years or the last 3 years in NFL history. I saw some stat. He has the 200th worst win percentage out of 208 qualifying coaches that have coached for that long in the NFL. But he is gone, so you had a reset within the division. But then with those head coaching and general manager vacancies, those have to be filled. That affects the 49ers. Not one, not two, but three front office personnel for 49ers have already been requested for interviews as general manager positions. Plus, you're going to have Robert Saleh getting some interviews as well, which those cannot go through because the 49ers didn't get a bye week. So because wildcard teams are not allowed to interview for those positions, but they're allowed to request for future, like, hey, these are guys we want to interview. So I want to talk through some of that. Some more 49ers Eagles and just kind of how to process all that. This is episode 1587 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And I have to say thank you to our executive producers. We got Dorian Campbell, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill. Appreciate you guys. And all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew, coming in strong. I love it. I love it. I love it. Faithful from birth. Love the tag. Can we expect improvement with Kendrick as our starting mic? Can't be worse. You know, it can't be worse. Tato Bethune has positives and negatives to his game. Now, the negative is he can't cover very well and coverage busts all over the place because he can't get people lined up right. But he plays really, really hard. He's great against the run. Eric Kendricks is smaller, faster, cover guy, way more experienced. So I expect way less coverage breaks. I expect way better coverage from the linebacker position in general. Probably not going to be near as good against the run. So, but we were on this show and me and Ant from 49ers Cutback, go subscribe to him. He's a freaking man. Shout out Ant. But we both said we would prefer to have Eric Kendricks as the defensive signal caller because of the experience. Like, again, if you look at just how much Tatum Bethune has played, which I think he's played about 400 to 500 snaps in his career, Kendricks played over 5,000 snaps in his career. He's been a team captain for not one, not two, but three separate NFL franchises. He's been a signal caller for a defense for over a decade. And you watch him out there on special teams, he's still got some juice in his step. Like, he's a quick dude. Now, is he as fast as D Winters running a 4.4? No, whatever else. But if there's ever a position where you could play long in the tooth, it's the linebacker spot. Now, I didn't think I would be willing to say that you put Tatum Bethune and Eric Kendricks in a foot race. I think Kendrick wins that one. I could be wrong, but he moves quicker laterally for sure. But you're not going to get the downhill thumper mentality, but the dude's a coverage stud. So I like experience and I like instincts at that linebacker position over youth and, you know, whatever, pep in the step, whatever you want to say. But like, I don't think this is a downturn. And what's even crazier is, you know, D Winters also injured as well. We'll have to see what this is. You know, you don't get the definitive injury report from Kyle Shanahan this early, but you look at D Winters going out. Garrett Wallow was not a down step from D Winters. D Winters has been a mess. He's been a mess. I'm not a D Winters guy. I really, really am not. Now, does he make great plays off the edge whenever he uses his speed and his instincts are good? Yes. Very, very, like, that is great. But he's not a good tackler. He's not good in coverage because his eyes are so bad. Garrett Wallow goes in there and wasn't perfect. It wasn't like it was an upgrade. I didn't feel like it was a downgrade either. So, like, yeah, the linebacker position is rough. Let's just start off going this. Tatum Bethune's season's done, Kyle Shanahan said. His groin injury is, you know, you're going to put him on IR. He's done. He's not playing no matter what. He's done. D Winters, he said, we'll see. Luke Gifford, we'll see. But now you have the 49ers linebacker group. So if you go back to the 49ers initial 53-man roster, every single linebacker that was on the initial 53-man roster is on IR or currently injured. All of them. And the jokes and the comments about the 49ers injuries, yeah, we've been making them for months. This is unreal because injuries are one thing. Injuries to your best blue chip players is another thing. Niners got that. But then stacking injuries at one position, that is what is a killer. And the 49ers have done that, shoot, I don't know how many years in a row. You did it to quarterbacks in 2022. You remember the one year where you had five centers injured before week one. You had four running backs injured before week one. You had that one year where all of your corners were out and you had the Brian Allen Miami game. Like, you've had these games and it's just season after season after season of stacking injuries at certain positions. It's a killer. And now you're going into the playoffs and you have six linebackers that are injured. Now, you don't know if D Winters is going to be able to play. You don't know if Luke Gifford's going to be able to play, but let's just be very fair and honest. Neither one of them has played well this year at the linebacker spot. Not having Luke Gifford out there on special teams, who's a Pro Bowl special teamer, the only Pro Bowl specialist, you know, that's not a kicker or punter in the entire NFC. Like, that's how good he is. Not having him out there is a huge, huge loss. Like, you got to have Luke Gifford. And I think if Luke Gifford's healthy, he'd start at the Sam. And you'll see Eric Kendrick start at the mic from now on out. And you did get the update that, you know, their target for Fred Warner, which I've been very hesitant on. I love Fred, and I get that Fred will play because he's a warrior. He's a gladiator. But he said, you know, we're targeting Fred Warner's return to the NFC Championship if we make it that far. It's just bad, man. The injuries at the linebacker position, they're just catastrophic. I don't, like, you could throw out whatever verbiage or whatever you want. Like, it's as bad as can be. It's just what it is. It's rough. Get back to all the hashtag CCs. What's up, Rick? Man, appreciate you guys. Tommy says we suck. I disagree. You're in the playoffs, so that's good. Anything could happen. You're a six seed. Go do some damage. And, yeah, it sucks. Tato Bethu played really, really well at points and kind of had to step up into an impossible position, replacing Fred Warner. You never want to be that guy. Made some good plays at different times. Really good against the run. Got to develop into a three-down backer. Not sure what his long-term placement's going to be. You know, it's his second year, so you 49ers got him for another 2 years. Nice backup player. Not good on special teams. Maybe you can make up that Sam backer. I don't know, but we'll see. Right here, Brandon says, sounded better, JC. Thank you. Man, this new year, it was rough. I've been sick twice in 3 weeks. Like, it's not going well. And so, yeah, it was a rough couple days, man. John Chapman was in the bed or the bathroom nonstop for, it was just rough. So I'm feeling better, still not back to 100%, but you know, I got two Patreon breakdowns done in the 49ers rush. So if you want to go over there, every offensive play, defensive play, special teams play broken down last 4 years, they're all there as soon as you sign up. And that the 49ers win this week, we'll have a Zoom hangout next week before the playoff game. So that'd be next week. Bets of the week posted, all that kind of stuff. That's all there. And if you just want to support us, you like what we do, that helps us do this full time, which is crazy to even say. And very thankful for that. I really, really do. Thank you guys for all the support and just being here. Like, and I understand not everybody's one of the Patreon or the 49ersrush.com subscribers. You show it up. And even if you're listening to this on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, wherever, I don't care. Thank you. I am beyond grateful eternally for you supporting me and giving a crap what we say and just having fun. Appreciate you guys. What's up, Bug Zapper? You're the man. Yeah, it's a Monday. Let's go. Let's go. The players don't have confidence. I think it's over. I disagree. Everybody had a rough game. That was rough. R-U-F-F. Rough. But this team has overcome so much. Like, it's hard just to say, whatever. Like, I got a lot of faith in this team, and I think they have a lot of faith in each other. You got George Kittle in that locker room. Are you kidding me? You get a look to Kyle Shanahan. He's going to scheme up some good plays. I know last week wasn't really the best qualifier of that, but, man, going back through the tape of that first half offense, plays were schemed up. It was really weird. The different stud players taking turns messing up plays. Juwan Jennings running a wrong route on the very first third down. Brock Purdy being late on multiple throws the first, second, and third drive of the game. Christian McCaffrey, they block for three. He only gets 3 yards. Like, you got to get some extra yards at different points. It's not like all the game was bad for all those players, but like the 49ers studs, we're kind of taking turns of, okay, I'm going to mess up this play. Okay, I'm going to mess up this play. Okay, I'm going to mess up this play. And they just never got going. But, like, okay, you look at the 7-game sample size. You had 6 great games. You had 1 bad game. Does the 1 bad game negate the 6 previous? No. It's the NFL. There's going to be bad games. There's going to be bad games. Look what the Bears just went through. Look what the Eagles. I know they sat some players. Look at the Rams. They had to have the refs give them a phantom call and wipe out an 80-yard play because the refs always help the freaking Rams for the Rams to finally be decent against the worst team in the NFL, the Cardinals. Like, this is the NFL. Any given Sunday, and guess what? You're in the playoffs. You could beat the freaking Philadelphia Eagles. Are they favored? Yeah, they probably should be. They're at home. They rested a lot of their core players, but this team can beat the Eagles 100%.
Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Well, Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. They also give you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep your login safe, and spam call protection to cut off scammers. That's my favorite thing. I used to get these calls all the time. It's been cut. It's done since I signed up with Aura. So, if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That is enough time for Aura to start removing all your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today, aura.com/remove, and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
Holly, what's up, man? He says, Chad was turned up last, so loved it. Yeah, got a lot of negative emails on that. Got some positive emails, too, though. So, yeah, it definitely lost some subscribers, which sometimes you just got to let it out. And I know that's not for everybody, but that's okay. That's okay. What's up, Ben? Appreciate you, man. No, Tommy. Cook less. Love you, man. Danson, what's up? Good to see you here. Hashtag CC. We made it in the playoffs, focusing on the positivity today. Yeah. You get the negativity out, the post-game reaction. It's funny because, you know, whenever I coached, like, my team meeting with players and, you know, parents was always, we're not talking about anything after the game. Everybody's going to go home and sleep. And then it, like, Mondays or, you know, we would play, you know, usually Saturday, Sunday, you know, Friday, different times all through Dallas. But, like, we're not talking right after the game ever about anything. That's not what we're doing. We want to have a conversation about playing time, personnel, decisions, whatever else. That's going to take place 24 hours after the game. Not even 24 hours. After you sleep. Then we'll have those meetings. And any parent that wants to have a meeting, we'll have a meeting as much as you want. Any player that wants to talk, man, why might I get more play there? We will have those discussions after the game, ain't it? And I'm guilty of this too, right? You get caught up in that raw emotion. You're caught up in the moment. And sometimes it's good to let the demons out. But now is not the time for that. You flush it and you move on. And you want the anger and you want the negativity. Go rewatch the post-game show. Now is the time, Danson. I'm with you 100%. Yeah, focus on the positive today. That's what you're trying to get done. I really, really do. So, John, what is the rules for picking up players now as far as practice squads? Why aren't they bringing in any linebackers? Well, so here's the issue. You have all these linebackers that are hurt. So now let's look at the 49ers linebacker room. Eric Kendricks is going to be Mike. If D. Winters is healthy, he'll be the Will, as he has been pretty much all year. Hasn't been good. Garrett Wallow will be the backup. But now you also have Curtis Robinson, who's been a healthy scratch. He will no longer be a healthy scratch. He'll be on special teams and probably going to be the Sam backer unless Luke Gifford can go. But then you also have two other linebackers on practice squad already. Jalen Graham, he's been with the 49ers for four seasons. He knows all three linebacker spots. You have, is he a good player? Not really, but he's played a lot. And you have another guy, Andrew Farmer. So, like, the 49ers came into the season with five linebackers. You still have Eric Kendricks, Garrett Wallow, Curtis Robinson, Jalen Graham, Andrew Farmer, Luke Gifford, if healthy, D. Winters. You have seven linebackers. So the number of bodies are still there, and you've had guys that have been able to learn your system, Andrew Farmer, Jalen Graham, Curtis Robinson, you know, on your team working. Those guys just got to step up. And so is there somebody else on a practice squad that you trust more than the two linebackers you've had on your practice squad for 2 months? I don't know about that. And so I don't know. I don't scout practice squads. And it's funny because, like, if I could go back and, like, somebody's like, okay, you got to be an NFL personnel guy. Like that's the career John Chapman wants, which I would love. Like, I would fight so hard to be the pro personnel department where you pay attention to other teams' practice squads. You pay attention to other teams', you know, waiver wires and whatever else, so that if somebody comes available, you grab them. I would love that job. I think Larry Kruger would be really good at that job too. But I don't do that now. And so is there another practice squad linebacker out there in the NFL that you like more than Andrew Farmer or more than Jalen Graham? I think the 49ers are really happy with those guys because they've been in the system for a while. Andrew Farmer has it, but Jalen Graham, he knows all the spots. He has more. Yeah, I think of everybody that's a linebacker on the roster now, Jalen Graham has more time with the 49ers than anybody, including Curtis Robinson. Is he a great player? No. But he knows the scheme, and he fits the mold, and he fits the style, and is it going to be worse than what you've had at linebacker? I don't think so. I mean, I guess it could always get worse, but it's kind of hard to see that. What's up, Jax? I am feeling better. Thank you so much. not going to lie, considering the season we had last year, I'm content. Not happy, but content. There's nothing wrong with content, Logan, but you're playing with the bank's money. That has to be the mentality. And I get negativity after losing to the Seahawks when everything was on the line. But you're playing with the bank's money. You're in the playoffs. If you lose and you're the most injured team with $160 million dead cap on the thing, like, it's what it is. What's crazy to me, and the thing that I struggle with the most, is, like, it took one loss for the fire Shanahan people to come out. And like, I know social media is a cesspool and I understand that, but like, that's crazy to me. And nobody that like I respect or interact with is saying that. And like, I check on the account. So like somebody would say something stupid in my account, like, man, if Shanahan's still the head coach next year. And I'm just like, dude, you're an idiot. This is one of the best. Like, if there was ever a year to say like Shanahan is a good coach, this is the year, period, with what's happened. Context matters, right? And so like, you get these idiots that say stupid stuff, and that's always going to exist in social media with the different podcasts and channels and, you know, whatever that are out there. But then like, I just highlight the account and it's like, oh, they don't even follow me. Okay, so like, this is just a troll, whatever else. And then you can kind of see who they do follow, like that pops up on like Twitter, and it's like, oh, okay, now I totally get it. Like, yeah, you wallow in the mud. So like, that's kind of where you are. But that doesn't mean Shanahan is, you can't be critical of him, but it's just like, man, don't overreact to the major loss and like, don't throw like everything out. Like, dude, what's crazy again, the 49ers have three front office personnel people that are being hired for general manager jobs. Like, the 49ers are doing something right. They're doing something right. The Seahawks offensive coordinator was our guy. Like, you're doing something right. Houston Texans, that's our guy. Like, all across the NFL, those are our guys. Everywhere, it's what it is. Gold-blooded, thank you for the super chat. I don't understand why Shanahan goes away from what works when the stars are right. No Kittle, Tonjes balls out, Kittle's back, Tonjes is gone. Gross Mottos blunder killed me. Yeah, I'm with you there on that Gross Mottos. It was frustrating. I will say this. I went back and did the tape. You can go watch it. The video breakdown's up. I break down every single play in order offensively. It's up. 49ersrush.com. Go sign up. It's free. You get a 7-day free trial. Watch all the videos. Cancel. Won't cost you a penny. If you like what we do, stick around. But that's okay. But like, the scheme wasn't bad. Like, the play calling wasn't bad early. CMC had a couple bad runs. Ran into his own guy. Looked like Isaac Grendel on one play. It started us off wrong. Brock Purdy was late on a throw. Juwan Jennings ran the wrong route. Like, it's not so much on Shanahan. Now, you didn't move the pocket as much as I wanted to, but then you started to see why you didn't move the pocket on the third and fourth drive, where they were sitting that backside edge. They were sitting them hard for those boots. Well, then you should have ran a cut counter play, a cutback off of, you know, an outside zone run. But yeah, there are moments, and you only get 12 rush attempts in a game. Shanahan's offense is not going to be effective. And the best running back we had, I'm going to be very honest with you, this should have been a Brian Robinson game. Like, he was basically doubled Christian McCaffrey's rushing output in two carries, didn't get the ball anymore, and had probably the best blitz pickup of the whole entire game. Like, I wish Kyle Shanahan could recognize the physicality of the game involved and understand this is going to be like, man, we need tough yards. Christian McCaffrey's all-world offensive player of the year, probably runner-up. You know, comeback player of the year. He's going to win that one, but he's not a tough runner and pushing piles. That was this type of game. Just think about all the third and twos and third and ones and third and threes. Like, in my own personal opinion, that should have been a 15 carry Brian Robinson game. That's my biggest complaint after watching the tape. Like, dude, like, why couldn't we recognize this is going to be a hard fought game? Like, not saying Christian McCaffrey shouldn't be playing or you limit his touches, but like, let's get Brian Robinson. Let's set the tone a little bit here. But yeah, it wasn't the best Shanahan called game for sure. But I don't put those 3 points all on Shanahan. It was a lot of poor execution, offense and defense, to be honest with you. Monkey, appreciate the super chat. Demo has had holds here and there, which is typical of him, but he's made some great one-on-one tackles in big moments. Glad he was made a captain. I'm a little bit off on this. I struggle with what is a captain whenever I think about D'Amador Lenore. Couple busted coverages down the stretch. He makes some big plays, positive and negatives. I like that he talks. I don't know, man. I don't see captain whenever I see Demo, if I want to be honest with you. I see a great player. But what does captain mean? Does captain just mean you're paid the most? Does captain just mean you're the best player? Like with Nick Bosa, you know, he's not a rah-rah guy, but I always see that dude out there coaching everybody up in practice and at training camp. I don't know if I see captain behavior in D'Amador Lenore. I love the way he plays. I think he's damn good. I think he's by far our best defensive player now. I'd say Sam O, Alfred Collins, D'Amador Lenore, like those are your best three probably in no particular order. It's pretty hard to find good players. Upton Stout's getting into the equation there. CJ West getting into the equation as well. But like, I don't know. From a coaching standpoint, I've been to a lot of games. I've been to a lot of, I don't know if I see captain behavior besides just being a really good player. I'm glad that they made a captain, so one's out there. But even since then, like, I don't know. Maybe he does a lot in the locker room. I don't know. I'm going to scroll down. I'm way behind in the chat. I'm curious. Am I crazy? Am I alone? I know I'm crazy. Am I alone with my take that, like, I don't really see, like, a lot of captain behavior with D'Amador Lenore? Yes, no, crazy, like, I don't know. Let's see here. I'm curious because I'm open for dialogue and I'm open for changing my mind. I don't know. Demo's not a number one. I think he's a damn good corner. I think corner is probably one of the hardest positions to play in the NFL. And I think Demo's really, really good. I think that was a crazy great contract for the 49ers. I think he's underpaid. I don't know if I see captain. Captain Niner. Hey, he's a captain. The idea of Demo was great, but maybe not in reality. Yeah, he's a number two corner. Let's see here. Yes, you're crazy, but you are not alone. I love it. You're crazy, but I do agree when you put it that way. Okay, cool. I'm all right with some of those. Demo's out for Demo 1,000%. And there's nothing wrong with that, today's NFL. Like, know what you're there for. Demo's an elite nickel. Good outside, but great slot. I do agree with that. His confidence is through the roof. He ain't hurting there. Bobo, I'm crazy too, or at least that's what the judge told me. Hey, Bobo, I'll come see you in the loony bin, buddy. We'll have rooms next door. But yeah, that's not a captain trait. Yeah, we'll see. Demo is a stud, but not a captain. Lack of defensive leadership is pretty obvious. Yeah, Demo is the least of our problems. I don't think he's a problem. I think he's our best defensive player. But there have been a few times where he's had a coverage bust and turned around and yelled at a teammate whenever it was his fault. And it's like, I don't know, man. Anyway, I'll let that go. Now, back to some more injury stuff, because the whole episode could be talking about that, but it's not all bad. So let's talk some more injuries right after this.
Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie.
All right, more injury news, non-linebacker edition. Ricky Pearsall, you know, still a we'll see, but Kyle Shanahan said he re-aggravated his PCL. I know there's a lot of negativity out there about Pearsall. I thought that was where the game, like, as soon as that news, I fully expected him to play. That was just like, oh, shit, like, this offense is going to have problems. He was kind of the answer. And if he can't play against the Eagles defense is really, really good. It's not near as good as, you know, Seattle, but you need Pearsall. You got to have Pearsall. Can you beat him without him? Yes, but this offense needs Ricky to create space for everybody. You need him. So getting the extra day, we'll see. Trent, we'll see. I do not expect Trent to play this week. And Jacob Cowing, his practice window has been open. And I think that is a big deal because he is a space guy, hasn't played at all this year, tore his hamstring routes on air the very first practice of training camp. takes a month, finally gets back out there, gets hurt again. The very first practice, he comes back. And so Shanahan just basically said, I'm done with you. But now, with all the injuries, you got to have something. Do I expect them to activate Jacob Cowing? I do not. But he does offer something. Speed. You do not have it. You have the slowest wide receiver core in the NFL. Probably with Ricky Pearsall, you have the slowest wide receivers in the NFL. But without him, you sure as hell do. There's no match. All 32 teams. So you need something to create some of that space. We'll see. Jacob activated. Will he play? Wednesday's his first practice. He hasn't practiced with the team much. Now, he's been with the team for 2 years. We'll see. But if he goes out there, who knows? I mean, the 49ers run more clear out routes than any team in the NFL. That's a Shanahan staple. Use him as that. Because once he gets out there, that's 4-3 speed. Now, you could do the same thing with Jacob or Jordan Watkins, but he plays the X. Jacob Cowens, he played the X, but he plays the slot too. So, again, now you're kind of mixing it up a little bit. Yeah, Cowan has trouble staying on his feet. He falls down, so he's tiny, man. That's there. But you've got to have something that stretches the field vertically. You can't run clear out routes with freaking D. Rob and Kendrick Bourne. You get up there and you see 84 and 5 and 15 out there, and it's like, dude, these are tight ends. These are Fs. They're not F move type tight end guys. They're not Xs. They're slot wide receivers at best. Ugh. Yeah, I like this bid. Whatever happens next, I'm damn proud of this year's team resilience. Playing with the bank's money. I'm with you. I am with you, man. I am with you. Now, whenever you look at, and shout out to this, I like this right here, B440. Please talk about how we beat the Eagles. Please, please, please. The Eagles are a damn good football team. They won their division. First team, I think we could say this. Is it the worst division? It's definitely in the conversation of worst divisions. You had one team that was decent. Cowboys had every other team had a losing record. They're not a good football team. Did they all have losing records? I believe so. Yeah. So you had Philly 11-6. That would have finished dead last in our division, right? Cowboys 7-9-1, Washington 5-12, Giants 4-13. It's not a good division. It's not. But the Eagles are a good team. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl last year, but they haven't been great. And they have their injuries as well. Their best lineman is out. We kind of replaced Trent Williams at OU. You had Trent Williams and you had Lane Johnson. He has not played much. Their center has not played much. They've got injuries too. Nothing like the 49ers. But yeah, they're kind of a mess. But if you look at just kind of, again, we'll do a full, scouting report episode and all that kind of stuff. But the 49ers have struggled the most with top elite defenses. That's where the 49ers have struggled. But the Eagles have a good defense, not an elite defense. You look at their points allowed, their fifth. That's kind of their best unit ranking across all metrics. So here, I'll just go through these. These are out of 32 teams. 13th in yards allowed. That's average. 10th in turnovers. All right. They're 10th. It's good. Not great. 16th in first downs. That's average. They're 8th in passing yards. That's good. 1st in passing touchdowns. That's great. That's 15th in interceptions. 7th in yards per pass attempt. All right. 27th in yards in rush attempts, 22nd in rushing yards, 25th in rushing touchdowns, 16th in yards per rush attempt. Third downs, they're 21st. You're going from playing Seattle, one of the best third down defenses in the past 10 years in the NFL, to the 21st third down defense in the NFL this year, right? Big difference. So whenever you look at teams that can stifle the 49ers offense, the Eagles don't make up a lot of that. Whatever. Yeah, they got a powerful defensive line. They got a great rotation and they got some quality DBs. Yes. They're a good football team. They're a division winning and they won the Super Bowl last year. They're good. But I don't think that you're going to have the same issue offensively that you did last week against Seattle. I don't think that you will. Doesn't mean you won't. No Ricky Pearsall out there. that changes things. No doubt about that. So it's what it is being told. He says, this show better not end 5 minutes. Every time after I come on a John Chapman podcast, unfortunately, it's like 3 minutes after I get on. We ain't going nowhere. We still got some time, man. But I'm glad that you're here. We were waiting for you the whole time, really. But you look at kind of the way in which Vic Fangio and kind of his multiple shell bend but don't break, get pressure up front with four guys mindset is, 49ers can operate very well against that, and they have in the past. The 49ers offense has always had a lot of success against the Eagles defense. The only time they didn't is when Christian McCaffrey was your quarterback in the second quarter, right? So, like, I love Vic Fangio. I think he's one of the greatest coordinators out there ever. And, dude, I'm very thankful. So many positive moments in my past are because of Vic Fangio. But, like, he's good, and this is a good defense. But it's nothing to be mixed up with the Seattle defense and the Seattle head coach, whose number one like claim to being a head coach is I could stop the Shanahan scheme. And he did last week. So that's there. I think the offense can work. I really, really do. Right here, Moon Man. If Brock could pull this off, I think people will see him different. He's already got 4 playoff wins. Go out there, get 5 playoff wins. Beat the defending Super Bowl champs on the road. Why not? Brock is a damn good playoff quarterback. 6 touchdowns, 1 interception in his, you know, playoff whatever. He's a damn good quarterback. And you could argue maybe his best game he's ever had was against this Eagles defense, which was called. No, that was under, was it under John? Ooh, I don't know the answer to this. I want to figure this out. When was it 2024? I think it was 2023. Yeah, it was the 2023 season. Against the Eagles, you beat them 42-19. Who was the Eagles' defensive coordinator? Here we go. I'm a smart man. I can figure this out. Offensive coordinator was Brian Johnson. DC was Sean Desai. They went and got him afterwards. So, yeah, it was not the same coordinator now. So you haven't really played them since 2024. They went and got Fangio. He left Miami. But you played against Fangio many a times. I don't have time to look this up on air, how Shanahan's offense has fared against him, but that's where that is. Larry's in here. What's up? I love Larry. He's the best, man. Anyway, so Purdy's awesome. Brock Purdy. I'm not putting anything past him. Yeah. Fangio came last season. That's where that is. Why does Kittle CMC disappear in the playoffs? Now, that, like, it was weird watching CMC play last week. It probably his biggest mistake of the year is that turnover. Did the same damn thing in the Super Bowl, right? Like, dude, Kittle did not disappear. Kittle was awesome blocking. Kittle was awesome whenever they threw the ball to him. He created after the catch. He created, like, Kittle was as advertised. Kittle was Kittle. CMC was not. I would argue that's probably the worst game CMC has had all year. And I think statistically it backs that up. PFF, that backs that up. Not that that, you know, put a, you know, PFS weird as hell. But, yeah, CMC had his worst game of the year. And, you know, it wasn't a true playoff game, but it kind of was. Does this count as a Purdy revenge game? That dude already got all their coaches fired and whatever else, you know. But, yeah, Purdy got injured, you know. It would have been maybe one of the greatest stories in the history of sports had he not. But that's football. Go out there, freaking find a way, go do what you got to do. Right here, Cam said, I talked about this after the game against Seattle. Appreciate the super chat. He says, it's possible Seattle gave us an attitude adjustment. Like, who are you? Everybody gets checked at some point in the NFL. It's a humbling experience. Are you the type of person that says, well, they kind of showed us who we are, or nah, screw that. My thing is, you had Christian McCaffrey, you had Brock Purdy, you had Kyle Shanahan, you had everybody out there saying, we got to be better. We're better than that. And now we got to do it the hard way. Like, I love the post-game response to that butt-whooping at home in prime time with everything on the line. Good news is, you played so well during the year, you still got another chance. 49ers can go out there. Yeah, you need Trent Williams. I don't expect him to play. I sure as hell hope he does. You need Trent Williams, but I don't know. If there's no Pearsall and there's no Trent this week, then I'm going to be honest with you. I will not be betting the 49ers. Not saying they can't win, but Yeah, you need those two guys. What's up, Lieutenant Simple Jack? We got the man himself, Rob Lauder, the Striking Gold 49ers podcast. By far one of the best out there. And if you like positivity, you like people that understand football and, one, make good jokes, go check out the Striking Gold podcast. I don't think it's on YouTube. I think it's audio only. I always listen on Spotify. I'm a Spotify guy. But anyway, shout out to freaking Rob Lauder. He's the freaking man. Go learn. I learn from his show all the time. He's a good dude. Good friend. Good dude. Wish we could hang out more and not talk Niners sometime. But he's all the way out in Fresno. Dude, come on, man. Come on, man. Anyway, hope the kiddo's doing just fine. Hope he's doing all right. Now, the one thing that I do think is positive is the 49ers finally are on the rest advantage side of the Eagles. The 49ers get a full extra day's rest against the Eagles, right? We played Saturday. They played Sunday. They played afternoon Sunday, which makes that even better. So that's nice. But you do have to fly out there. That kind of, you know, is going to be incorporated in that. And then probably the biggest negative, which you could spin this positive negative however you want, both NFC games are Saturday, except for ours, we're Sunday. So the following week, let's say the 49ers do win, now you're going to have a rest disadvantage against whichever team wins on Saturday, or even an 8-day disadvantage for the Seahawks. This is the one reason why I was kind of happy about the Saturday game. And now that, you know, you found out Ricky Pearsall re-aggravated, I understand Kyle Shanahan said there might have been a better chance that Ricky Pearsall and Trent could have played Sunday. That was total bullshit. He is a liar whenever it comes to injuries. There was 0% chance that Ricky Pearsall or Trent Williams were going to play even if the game was Sunday. 0% chance. So now that gives an extra day's rest for everybody else who played Saturday going into the Sunday game. So I actually think it kind of benefited because Pearsall wouldn't play and Trent wouldn't play no matter what. So anyway, take that for what you will. Now let's see here. A couple other questions that I want to get to. The weather is a disadvantage right now. It's supposed to be kind of cold, but like 44 degrees. All the rain's supposed to stop very, very early Sunday in Philly, so that doesn't look like it's going to be an issue, personally. Right here, Benji and Dad, he says, you know, Philly didn't play anybody that mattered week 18. They used it as a bye. That is true. And you look at their schedule, you know, obviously they lost to Washington. They had three-game winning streak before that. Am I on the right? Yeah, I'm on 2025. Sorry, I'm clicking around. So let's work backwards. They lost to Washington week 18, beat the Buffalo Bills by 1 point, beat the Commanders by 9, shut out the Raiders 31-0, lost to the Chargers, lost to the Bears, lost to the Cowboys. That's the past 8 games. They're 3-4. What about this? Like, this is a team that lost to the Dallas Cowboys, guys. They have lost to the Giants. Like, I know they're division opponents. Those are, nobody's mistaking the Cowboys or the Giants for a good football team. Ever. And the Giants blew them out. 34-17. The Eagles are a good football team. They deserve to be where they are. But like to sit there and say, like, you just played probably the most complete team in the NFL. I see the Seattle Seahawks as the top 5 offense, top 5 defense, top 5 special teams. Ain't nobody saying that about anything that the Eagles do. Nobody say they're a top 5 offense. They're not a top 20 offense. Listen to you. We did the offensive ranks, right? All right, here we go. 19th out of 32 teams in points scored. 24th in yards. 4th in turnovers. They protect the ball very well. 24th in first downs. Not good. 24th passing yards. 11th passing touchdowns. That's good. Fewest interceptions in the league. That's great. 18th in rushing yards, 14th in rushing touchdowns, 23rd in yards per rush attempt, 21st in third downs. Like, I understand they won the Super Bowl. I get it. Dude, I'm sorry, man. Like, the Eagles are a good team. They're not a great team. There's no confusing the Seattle Seahawks with what the Eagles are putting out there. There's really not. They're really not. Now, if you are going to the Eagles game, the playoff game this week, I'll be going, once the 49ers win this game, which I sure as hell hope they will, I will be going to the divisional round game, wherever that is. And I will be hosting events at wherever that is. I'm not going to be out of Philly this week. I decided to chill. One, I don't want to go to Philly ever again. But anyway, if you are going and you need tickets, there's only one place to get them. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, let's see here. A couple comments. Howdy. The Eagles are a shell of the Super Bowl team. Different OC, different O-line. Yeah, the offense is not what it was. Last year's offense was impeccable. And they have a nasty streak of injuries on that offensive line as well. Like, things are not moving like they were. Still a good team. But yeah, I agree with you. The Eagles have what it takes to dominate us on the ground. I don't believe that to be true. Now, maybe every single team has what it takes to dominate us on the ground. But like, this week they rushed for 80 yards. They had backups in there. Last week against the Bills, they rushed for 82 yards. They had three dominant games, 207 rush yards against the Commanders week 16, 183 against the Raiders, worst team in the NFL, 134 against the Chargers. But then before that, 87 rush yards against Chicago. Remember what the Niners did to them? 63 rush yards against the Cowboys. Like, they have had 9 games over a majority under 90 yards rushing. Like, they, yeah, Saquon's a beast. And yeah, they got some maulers up front. And I ain't saying they don't. But they're not the same, like, Philly offensive juggernaut that everybody's used to. So just understand that. Now, you stop the run, you're going to be in business because you got to force Jalen Hurts to beat you through the air with his arm, which, I mean, he could throw the fade ball, and he's clutch. You keep it close, Jalen Hurts to lit. Like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. However, that dude throws the fade ball as well as anybody. What he does with his legs is incredible, and whenever it matters, he shows up in the biggest way. Like, that is what Jalen Hurts is. Leadership and consistency. Does he make a lot of, like, hard throws? And if it's a fade route, sure. Outside of that, no. I mean, he could throw the fade ball perfectly. So good. So amazing what he does in the run game. You have to beat him through the intermediate, finding pockets and holes. If you force him to do that, shoot, you remember when the 49ers were out there and like, dude, we found the blueprint. We gave teams the blueprint to beat this team. You remember Nick Bosa said that. I think that is very, very true. Can you go out there and do that again? Their offense is a mess. You got to stop the run. You got to stop them beating you, you know, A.J. Brown or, you know, whatever those fade routes, because he could throw those. Maria, John, do you think it's worth giving Sebastian Valdez a shot? I do not. Mainly because your issue isn't youth and defensive tackle play. Defensive tackle play is not the issue. It's defensive ends. It's linebackers and safeties. That's why the 49ers defense sucks. Defensive ends, linebackers, safeties. Might put safeties number one. All the injuries at defensive ends, Sebastian doesn't play that. CJ West is playing his best football of the year. Alfred Collins playing his best football of the year. Kalia Davis getting a little more consistent. Jordan Elliott is Jordan Elliott. Like, you've got four studs there that are playing good football. And I don't think you want to call him up for one game to see what he is. And then another team steal him. I think Sebastian Valdez is right where he will be. I think Kevin Givens would be called up, but everybody else is healthy there. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing any of him. I really, really don't. Stefan, appreciate the super chat. John, look on the bright side from the Seattle loss. We get to beat the Eagles team. We all absolutely hate Trent body slam incoming. I love it when Trent gets mad and kills people. Yes, Stefan. Like, let's go full haters ball here, right? Dude, what's wrong with taking the hardest road? Now you have the opportunity to dethrone the Super Bowl champ, to go on the road and beat three teams on the road and then have the Super Bowl in your home. Is that hard to do? Yeah. With this defense, hell yeah. But who gives a damn? Who are you if not freaking, like, this is sports. And we all hate the Eagles. We hate their fans. We hate most of their players. Everybody hates their coach. Their coach hates their coach. Like, that dude is the most hateable dude ever. It's absolute, just whatever. Yeah, my two closest friends are Eagles fans. And, yeah, hate them this week. Hate. Just what it is. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Leon, appreciate you, man. John, I love when Ricky is on the field, but it is getting to Elijah Mitchell level injury frustration. It's getting really bad. But what this is what you do with rookies. And so, like, I've had a lot of people say, like, you know, Ricky Pearsall is a bust and whatever else. And, dude, perfect scheme fit. Somebody that never missed one college game through five seasons. Like, it was a perfect fit. I didn't like the pick at the time, but I didn't know you were going to trade away Debo and pay him $40 million to not play for you. I didn't know Brandon Ayuk was what he is. Didn't know that either. So, like, I get the pick. I understand it. And look at the picks that happened after him. Keon Coleman. Who's the – we just played him for Carolina. The dude that talks all Cajun. Who's like, I got to find this now. Damn it. This is going to bother me. All right, here we go. Like, I don't think Ricky Pearsall is a bust. He's a second-year first-round wide receiver that has proven he fits exactly what you want. He just hasn't stayed healthy. Xavier Leggett went right after him. He's not better. Keon Coleman sure as hell not better. Ladd McConkey is better. Maybe that should have been the pick. Ladd McConkey was better. But You look at those, you know, you got four wide receivers in a row. Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey. And you've got 3 years left on his rookie deal if you use the fifth year option, which 49ers should always use the fifth year option. Dear Lord. Could you imagine what that would have saved us with Brandon Ayuk? Just use that damn fifth year option. Let him sit out if you don't want to sit out. They can't do that anymore. But yeah, the injuries are bad, but like, you know it works if he could just stay healthy, which is a big if. But this is somebody that had 5 years of straight health before you got him. Then he got shot, had the shoulder, had the hamstring. Now he's had the knee. He's got the ankle. And it's just like, man. But, like, the injury that hurt him, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to handle that. You just got to stay healthy. He's just got to stay healthy. Just got to stay healthy. Yeah, right here, Sparkle Toad, not Mock Draft Monday. It is not. We are not doing mock drafts here on the 40 Hours Rush podcast until the season is over. It's playoff time, ladies and gentlemen. This is playoff time. Do you remember? Okay, we're doing this. We're going back through Franchise Encyclopedia because I think you guys need to know. That's just what it is. There have been so many times where I would do anything for 49ers to be just playoff bound. You remember last year? We were doing mock drafts in November. November. Do you guys remember the last year for freaking Harbaugh to Tom Sula to Kelly to the first year of Shanahan to the second year of Shanahan? You never had more than 6 wins in 5 consecutive years. You had no hope for the playoffs. You had no hope for anything. 5 straight years. That was terrible. That's not even as bad as it gets. I will remember the 2000s forever. Forever. This is why I was in college and grad school. Everybody used to make fun of the Niners. I'd wear my Niners stuff everywhere. From 2003, Dennis Erickson. I hate Dennis Erickson. Worst coach in 49ers history. Worst coach in 49ers history. I will fight anybody on that. You had two of the worst years ever in Dennis Erickson. You had 3 years of good drafting and terrible coaching from Nolan. Then you had Singletary come in and do crazy stuff, but still great drafts. That is from 2003 to 2010. That's 8 seasons. No playoffs. None. No winning records. 8 years, guys. 8 straight freaking years. Now you had the Walsh and you had the Seifert years, which were pure glory. But understand where you are. That this is considered a down year. Do you know 12 teams have never even won the Super Bowl? That's over a third of the league has never even won a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying be content that your team has won not one, not two, not three, not four, but five damn Super Bowls. But it gets lost in today's society where you're either the best or you're trash. There's no in between. That's bullshit. That is wrong. This is a good year. The context matters. Context, like, we literally talked about all five linebackers that were on the initial 53-man roster are out. All of them. $160 million of a, what's the total salary cap? $203 million? $160 million is out salary cap wise. $160 million, not playing for you. Perspective, context, understand where you are. I get that you lost the first seed. I get that you got embarrassed on primetime. I get that. I get it. But man, I don't know, dude. Look at this, David. We haven't been one and done in the playoffs since 2001. 25 seasons. We ain't losing on Sunday. Fuck no. Dude, come on, man. You don't think Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Brock Purdy are going to be out there? You don't think Trent Williams, even if Trent Williams doesn't play, like, dude's going to be in those meetings like, guys, give me a chance to come back. Fred Warner is freaking Frankenstein. The dude was like dead. It is like, give me a fucking chance, guys. It's right there. You have everything in the world to play for. You're playing the Eagles, who you hate. Everything is there. Like, oh, come on, man. Yeah, you don't think CMC wants another chance and he's chomping at the bit after that game? Like, golly, yes. 100%. Oh, yeah. $160 million out. And you're still in the playoffs? Unbelievable, man. Thank you, Cole. I needed that. Thank you. Thank you. And so, like, just put things in perspective, right? Bobo, this is 100% correct. Sirianni's got punch me face. He does, 100%. It's what it is. Salary cap's 279. Thank you. The top 51 is 203 because we had the extra total cap, whatever, and all those things. So that's where that is. So, yeah, we're looking at cap space. We're at 295. Yeah, so 160's out. So a little over half. My math's right. There we go. My math is mathing. Thank you, Cam's dad. Always keep me there. That just reflects on how good Jimmy G was. You're awesome. We want it more than the Eagles. Yeah, I don't think that that's close. Yeah, I don't think that that is close. I go out there and just freaking, oh, dude. Go get them, man. This is why we're sports fans. And every single sports movie, which you've all seen and you all love, gets to that one moment where it feels like, meh, everything goes bad. The guy gets hurt, or, oh, we're going to lose this game, or the coach gets fired. If only, shucks. Until it doesn't, because the sports movies don't end that way. They don't. Is this one of those teams? I don't know. But I know to be involved in this, just to be there with this team in the context that has happened this year. I'm not saying like it's a moral victory, whatever. I'm saying sometimes you got to choose to believe. And sometimes you just got to decide. This is us or it's not. That Seattle game should have been a damn checkpoint. It should have been a checkpoint. We're going to find out pretty damn soon. Love you guys. You are freaking awesome. Love this 49ers team. We're the fucking faithful, guys. And I see way too much pity party, way too much one and done, way too much we suck, way too much talk about drafts. Bullshit. Check yourself. 49ers are in the playoffs against the fucking Eagles. What the hell else you want? It's the Eagles. Come on, man. Ah, let's go. Let's go. Love you guys. Y'all are awesome. We're going to be going all week. So we'll be tomorrow, John and Wayne show. Come join us 10 a.m. You know Wayne's going to be wired. He's East Coast. We're playing to Philly. It's going to be a good time. Join us 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until next time, y'all the best there is. And until that time, stay strong, faithful. Peace.